On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome into the Who's On Podcast, part of the Saber Podcast Network, presented in part by friends Joe Reed and Alcova Mortgage. Score your perfect home today. The transfer portal still going on. We've got a couple days left till it closes, but of course, a lot of decisions still to be made. Thousands of names still in the portal. A lot of big names still out there too. And Virginia still about half a roster left to fill. And, you know, of course, now we got the football portal opening up, but we're going to stick to basketball here tonight because I got Kevin Cook, AKA Who's Got Next from Locker Room Access, joining me here. Kevin, appreciate you for doing this. It's been a long time coming, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Preston, man. I'm a big fan of yours. You know that. So when you asked me how to do it.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's a busy season, but it's a really weird transfer portal season right now because brand new coaching staff, a lot of different things about this coaching staff that we're going to get into in just a little bit, just how they're approaching this transfer portal process. And I know that's kind of changed the game for you a little bit and for everyone, all of us trying to cover this team right now. It's like, you know, stuff just comes out of nowhere. But I guess just early thoughts on the transfer portal, early thoughts on the early days of Ryan Odom, kind of a new era for Virginia basketball.
Yeah, a new era is the way to put it. Because, I mean, this is very different than what we went through with Tony Bennett. Like you said, we've been kind of blindsided by all these transfer additions, and they just sort of happened really fast. And it's, you know, it's all NIL-driven, and that's the nature of it. There's nothing wrong with that. I think people hear that, and they think, well, you're something dirty or whatever. But that's what's going on right now in college basketball. That's a big part of it. And, you know, agents and all that, and things just really happen really fast. And we were talking off air, but it sort of takes the fun out of it in a way, you know. It's you know, we're used to the build up and the recruitment and what's going on, and now it's just like, bam, we've got this guy, and we've got to learn about him really fast, and then move on to the next one because, you know, what do we get, like six in 6 days, one of them backed out.
So yeah,
it just, man, that was crazy, just the craziest week I've ever had doing this.
I know we were talking about it, just like I'm used to, you know, getting a name a couple days ahead and like they're going on their visits and everything. And I'm usually pretty deep into kind of my study of how like their game and kind of how they're going to fit into the system. I mean, heck, I don't even really know what the system is. We have our guesses of kind of how he's going to adapt from Utah State and VCU and even UMBC. But yeah, at this point I'm like, all right, let's crank up the highlight video as soon as someone sends me a name in the morning, and I'll finish it by the time, you know, the double bang goes out there.
That's about it. Yeah, you get a quick look at the highlight, and then I have to get some sort of little breakdown in their commitment articles and go with it and move on to the next one.
Yeah,
that's all that's happening. But they've gotten some good players, man. I mean, these are very good players. They need a center. You know, that's kind of the hole in the lineup, but they've gotten four pretty good transfers. I mean, they've got a chance with that group. They still need, like I said, a couple more. But, you know, you talk about year one of a head coach. He's putting together a pretty good roster. I know some fans may not like the way it's done and the one-year players and all that. They'll have a harder time kind of rallying around them, but, you know, winning cures. So we'll see what happens.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. Some people are like, oh, we're only going to go to like 3-5 games next year, maybe. I'm like, well, I guess you'll see after November, because exactly. If things start heating up, it could go the other way too. Maybe you don't go to as many, but we have no idea right now. I want to stick with just kind of how this recruiting process has gone, because it's kind of been the same thing, you know. You know, most of these players are taking visits now after they committed. I know Devin Tillis, Jakari White, Dalen Hall all took visits, you know, kind of in the past week after that dead period ended, which is totally unusual just to see like guys coming to grounds after they've committed. Because I honestly, last week I was like, I think this could be a pretty chill week with, you know, the dead period.
I literally wrote an article titled "Dead Period." Like, it's going to be quiet and we'll have this, then boom, boom, boom. Commitments were going off all over the place. But that's what coaches are doing. It's not just UVA.
Yeah.
They're basically using that dead period as an opportunity to close recruits and to sort of lay in the weeds and then come in with their, you know, NIL offers and everything else. And the time when they couldn't take visits and they couldn't go out and see their other options. And then, you know, I mean, I assume there's sort of a take it or leave it aspect to some of these offers, you know, so
yeah,
that way they couldn't wait until they go see these other schools and things. So
yeah, they're definitely trying to kind of streamline it. Like, don't go take five visits like it's a high school recruitment. Like, take it and come, or just go about your day. And that's kind of seems to be the approach.
You've also got this, you know, the revenue sharing coming into effect. And I don't really understand the ins and outs of all that. But I think there's like pressure to get deals signed before that's finalized or whatever, because maybe there's not as much, you know, sort of let or room to maneuver some of the NIL deals after that. So I think that's some of that going on too. It's going to put pressure on.
Yeah. I mean, basically what the House settlement's going to do is kind of cut down on what we've come to know as NIL and kind of regulate that. And then most of the money is going to be coming from revenue sharing. And then all these NIL deals are going to have to be, you know, quote unquote, fair market value, which obviously right now they're not. You know, if we look at Nico Iamaliava right now in college football, but, and so, yeah, like there's a big push from agents and it's happening in football and basketball. Like, get your money now, like get in the portal, get your money now, because in a couple months, you know, whenever this house settlement thing kind of finalizes and everything, it's going to be a whole new ball game. And, you know, we're going to be coming back on here talking about, you know, a new era of college sports after, you know, the other one just started like a year ago. But
the question is, can they really clean it up? Like, I think,
you
know, like immediately these deals, they probably can't promise what they can now. And that's why guys want to, you know, get their deals ahead of that. But in the long run, I don't know that they're going to be able to actually, you know, eliminate a lot of these shady NIL bills. So,
I mean, you had backdropping going on for decades before.
The amounts
there's always
are much smaller, though. You
yeah.
Remember, it was the FBI deals, and you had the recruits were they were getting offered like $20,000. Remember that?
There's a lot of strong ass offers out there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, Will Wade's strong ass offers are nothing today, man.
No.
Let me tell you what's a board.
Yeah. If he thought there were strong ass offers back then, like I think he realizes now at NC State.
He's making
kind
some
of the
really
offers.
Strong ass offers now at NC State.
Look, and then the other part of this is not just the visits. Like, I don't see Virginia like on a ton of these like recruiting lists that you see pointed out there. Like, oh, these are all the schools that have reached out to me. Like, even the guys that have committed, none of the. I mean, take Jakari White for example. He had a top five out there, and you know, he said that one was
really wild going.
He said VCU was the first school that had kind of reached out to him in the portal, so there was a connection there, but just no one really kind of knew about it. And it kind of came back.
I mean, let's see here. We've had, I'm going to, excluding the VCU player, which obviously makes sense, Martin Carrere. I'm probably butchering his French name. But the other four, let's see here. Sam Lewis at least mentioned Virginia interest like a day before, like literally on a list.
Yeah.
And then the next day he was committed. Let's see here. Jakari, no mention at all. Dallin Hall, excuse me. I don't think he even talked about his recruitment. That one, total blindside. Who am I leaving out here? Oh, Devin, another total blindside. Devin Tillis. He was in the portal for like 3 days. I mean, talked to anyone. It was all during a dead period.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's crazy, man. And you know, the weird thing is the guys they've actually gotten to visit, they haven't gotten any of those yet.
No.
So we're spending a lot of time talking about these guys, and then they go somewhere else. Or so far.
You had Davidson, Nick Davidson go to Clemson, obviously. He had taken visits to both. They had a visit with Reed Bailey, who ended up going to Indiana. And then you had Rakees Passmore come recently.
Yeah, I think we have a good shot with Rakees Passmore, but then it was the two VCU guys that visited.
Yeah.
But we got the VCU guy that didn't visit, but not the two who did. Well, one of them, I guess, technically is still in play, but
yeah.
Probably not.
It seems to be the big schools for him right now is Grand Canyon or going back to VCU. And it kind of, I mean, you wonder about the interest level there. And that's the kind of plays a
Right.
big role in all this is we don't
Yeah.
know exactly how interested they are in some of these guys.
I mean, I think they're interested. You're looking at different roles for a player like him.
Yeah.
You know, he's looking at being a starter at those schools versus Virginia's going to bring in. We know they're going to bring in some older center. That's like the missing piece in this, you know, starting lineup. They've done. They got all 1 year players, or I guess Sam Lewis is a 2 year guy. So you know they're going to bring in a center that sort of matches that lineup. But you need, you know, Odom plays a lot of guys.
He
And that's the
does.
one thing that's been consistent with him is his style. He really very intense defense, and they rotate guys in. So he usually goes like 9, 10 deep. And you talk about these front court guys, especially, it takes a lot out of them. So you got to have, you know, back
Yeah,
up in our minutes.
I looked it up when everyone, started making all the more guards than, Buckingham Palace or more guards than Shawshank jokes. And, obviously Duke Miles decommitted since then. But yeah, I looked it up. Like almost every single year he's been a head coach, they have played at least 9, 10 guys, 10+ minutes. And, some of those kind of vary. But yeah, there was one season where he had 13 guys that were playing 10+ minutes. I don't even know how the math works on that. I think some of those guys might have been injured and missed part of the season, but yeah, he goes deep on his bench. And I guess when you're playing as exhaustive a play style, you kind of have to.
I think VCU, their top minutes guy was like right at 30, I believe. And that's, you know, they're all conference point guard, get his name. So, I mean, we're used to, like under Bennett, the best players are playing 35 minutes, and
Yeah.
at least in the competitive game. So it's different, man. It's gonna be a different style. I'm not even sure what his style is, though, to be honest. He's played so many different ways. Like his Utah State teams were completely different than his VCU teams. So I mean, I'm
Yeah.
not really sure, but I think he's kind of flexible. There's some constants there. We know he's gonna shoot the three.
I was
He'll
going to
shoot a ton of
say,
threes.
if we know one thing, he's going to shoot
Yeah,
the
exactly. And they've got shooters, man. I mean, that's clearly been the thing they're after. I mean, all these guards they brought in, and Tillis too, the four, those guys can all. You're looking at four guys that are all right around 40% in three, I think. So, you know, a couple, another one we're talking about, you know, the noise with Malik Thomas. I don't know. Probably got to wait on a waiver with that one, but,
Yeah.
you know, that would be another one. And who knows? I wouldn't be surprised if they bring in a stretch five, too. It's
Before
crazy.
we kind of get into the guys they have got and talk about the roster right now, interesting kind of thing list got put out there by Evan Miakawa. Great, analytics work over there. It's had UVA ranked 6th in the estimated. I want to put estimated out there in like bold print, estimated NIL spending in the transfer portal. At about $6.2 million right now. We knew that Virginia was going to have a lot of money, and he kind of Evan even prefaced like, if you think your school is spending less money than this, then like good for them. Like they got these guys under market, but these are kind of putting the estimated values on the players that have committed so far. And it's interesting that they're, kind of that high up, 6th in the country. And I know it's been 2 days, I think, since that list got posted. Things change a lot,
Right.
but
Probably so. But
Just how do
that's
you
a lot,
think?
man. I mean,
Yeah.
6.2. He's only talking about the guys they brought in, by the way. So, I mean, that's only five players. You know, and Carrere probably didn't get very much. So, really, just
No.
four players. That's what, 1.5 million plus each.
That seems to be kind of the
I
going.
don't know that they're actually getting that much, to be clear. And I'm sure Evan
Exactly.
doesn't either. I sort of doubt it. That's probably a little high, but I bet it's over a million average.
I think so. I think someone out of Toledo said that Sam Lewis is probably about over a million. And I think there was some reporting from somewhere about Jakari White being, a 1.2 range or something like that. I don't think at the end of the day anyone exactly knows NIL
No,
deals, and they
no.
want it to keep it that way. Like they want you to think
Yeah.
ballparks. They don't want you to know the exact figures. And that goes for, I know I joke around with Lowe all the time, like Lo Davis at Cat Futures, like, all right, tell me the money, like how much you got. He's like, we can't do that. And he's like, I don't even know how much, the other schools I'm competing with have. We know like ballparks, but no one really knows how much they have. Because you look at Louisville, they were rumored in like the 8 to 10 million range, and
Right.
Virginia was rumored in like the 7 to 8 million range. And like, I got to think Louisville spent more than 8 to 10 million to bring in the roster they have.
You know, I mean, again, we never really know what guys are getting. Again, you got to preface that whenever we talk about money. But honestly, I think Louisville's—they've kind of got the image that they're putting together a championship team, and that's got them sort of a discount a little bit with some of these guys. They haven't quite had to go through the bidding wars that maybe Ryan Odom is right now. So, I mean, the numbers we've heard is probably Isaac McNealy and Jakari White are probably getting about the same thing. You know, so
And
and nothing against Jakari White, who I think is going to be a really good player for Virginia, but McNealy's a proven, all ACC, in my opinion, caliber player.
I
So,
mean, it's what you've seen versus what you think or
right.
what
One
could
guy's
happen.
a second team, summer league. Again, I think he's going to be very good. I think he's going to be a really good player for Virginia. I think all those guys, I like all these guys, to be honest. I think Sam Lewis is probably my favorite kid, and he's. We still have them for hopefully 2 years. I say hopefully because you never really know these days.
How
I
do you
mean,
think UVA is kind of being viewed right now in this picture? Because you see a lot of recruitments that kind of, you see the big list and it's like, Arkansas and Kentucky and Louisville and Indiana and all these schools that we know are spending a lot of money. I obviously it's not the same, but like, how do you think UVA is kind of viewed nationally right now?
I don't think people know, and I think that's the issue they've had losing these recruits to Clemson. And Clemson has a brand. They've sort of Brad Brownell has a history, and maybe it's he's done really well the past few years. Overall, it's above average, but he has some successes there he can point to, and for recruits they're like, okay, I can come in here and be like Hunter Tyson, like the kid from Utah that just committed there. I'm sure that's what they're telling him. Whereas the Ryan Odom, who are we pointing to here? What's our, with and people criticize Tony Bennett's recruiting, but he was really good at that. He was really good. When he got his success stories, he really used them. I mean, he really used them. Every recruit that came in was the next Ty Jerome, the next DeAndre Hunter, the next
DeAndre
Malcolm Brogdon, whatever kid they fit like, that was it.
Yeah.
It works. I mean, it
It
works.
does. You hear the stories all the time, like, oh yeah, Tony showed me on my visit, DeAndre Hunter film, and kind of that was gonna be my role. Like, I don't know how many times someone told me that story, like, for whichever player it is. And it's funny because we actually get to some player comps, kind of further down the list. Someone asked a question for our mailbag later, but let's look at this roster because we've kind of talked about it. Five additions right now. It was six. Obviously, Duke Miles decommitting brings us back down to five. Run through the list real quick and then just your general thoughts on some of these guys. Dalen Hall from BYU, Jakari White from North Dakota State, Sam Lewis from Toledo, Devin Tillis from UC Irvine, and then Martin Carrere. Yeah, again,
Martins, yeah, I got that part wrong. Career, I
we'll
think, is
figure it
right.
out when he gets here, right?
I'm
But yeah, just your thoughts on
glad
some of
you
these guys.
remembered all their names because I'm not sure I would have off the top
Oh,
of my
I've got
head
it
right
written
now.
down, man. Kevin,
Okay, yeah.
like.
Okay, Dalen Hall's the really easy kid. He's a pure point guard. He's kind of, I mean, I don't want to compare him to London Perrantes, but in terms of what he does well, it's kind of, that's kind of what you're looking for. He's a floor general that shoots the ball well. He's a good athlete too, by the way. You've seen some of the highlight dunks and stuff. Kind of surprises me. Jakari is I've heard him described as a 3-and-D type player, and I think that's pretty good. He can do some things off the bounce. He's gotten a lot better at creating for himself. You look at some of his stats that really jumped up this year as far as assist totals and getting to the foul line, I think about twice as much. So there's some growth there, but he's a shooter that's well, I think he's maybe he was all defensive player in some league, if I remember
He
right.
was, I think, last year or 2 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, so I mean, he's a good defender, bad defensive team, but good individual defender. Believe it or not, Tillis is super skilled, man. He is just very crafty player, 6'6", 6'7", four man. Not a great athlete, but man, very skilled, crafty player. I think he's going to be fine. Who am I leaving out here? I'm leaving someone
Sam
out.
Lewis, your favorite.
Oh, Sam, that's right, Sam. Yeah, Sam's kind of interesting to me. I'm not sure what to expect him positionally because Toledo used him as all over the place. They used him as like a small ball four and all this kind of stuff. But again, very crafty player, uses his body well and can shoot the heck out of it. And he was like 44% this year. I think he's a guard to UVA, but Toledo did kind of Houston Ohio is a small ball four.
Yeah, I think you're definitely going to see a three guard lineup out there, and then kind of that four position is going to be kind of a interesting spot there, especially when you got guys like Tillis and maybe Lewis kind of working in there. And it's the real question is the big man spot, kind of how does that
Yeah.
figure out, and what does that look
Right.
like? He's recruited a lot of different types of bigs, it feels like. You
Right.
have like the Nick Davidsons and Reed Baileys, and then you look at the, Bodo Bodos and the, like these 7-footers that can block
Yeah.
shots at the rim.
And I mean, you're seeing them reach out to just about every high-end big guy. They were on Malik Ewing's Final Five, which I don't think they had much of a prayer there. He committed to Arkansas. Same thing. They definitely tried for this Mississippi State transfer that just committed to Auburn. These are all, the best. There's aren't that many big guys in the portal is the problem, as far as proven big guys. But we know they're involved with the Charleston big guy that's caught up in a whole lawsuit trying to get another year. They
Ante Brozich.
something like that. There you go, Ante. That's my biggest fear, by the way, coming on this podcast, is trying to pronounce the names that I've. Yeah, like we were practicing Terrence Arsenault here on the forum before I came on. I was like, how do you say this when you're doing a podcast tonight?
After 10 years in TV, Kevin, I just learned to just let it rip, and you'll get the emails from parents afterwards, but you try to do your best. But yeah, the big situation is obviously that's kind of what is going to be on everyone's mind going forward. We got a
Right.
couple questions about that later on, so we'll get into that more. But
Yeah, I don't think I have the answers, but go ahead.
returning players, this is just kind of fascinating because it's not where I totally expected to be. Elijah Gertrude, obviously the only scholarship player coming back as of right now, and kind of floated out there today that Ishan Sharma has committed to St. Louis, so officially UVA will return 0 minutes from last year's team. No returning player played minutes last year for Virginia. When you went into this, how many did you expect to return? Because I had it around, I think
Three or
originally I
four.
said 4 to 5, and then I dropped down to 3 or 4.
Yeah, I thought 3.5 was probably the over under total. I thought maybe we'd get to four. First of all, if Elijah Gertrude stays and portal aid isn't closed yet, so we can't take anything for granted,
This is
how
true.
people really celebrate that guy. I mean, seriously, man. I mean, him sticking out, if he goes on. And does the obviously he's got to come back from injury. We know what he's going through. But if he comes back and does some things that he's capable of at Virginia after this, absolute legend, man. Absolute legend. I mean, seriously, being the only guy that sticks it out. And again, he's had the injuries, but he's probably the most talented player on the roster.
Highest ceiling probably,
Yep.
and maybe best fit for Ryan Odom's
Yep.
team, as
Yep.
far as being an athletic guard and kind of things he can do on both ends of the floor. And I know when I talked to him, gosh, that must have been 2 months ago now, he was saying that he feels like he is getting back to being the level of athlete that he was before the
Right.
scooter injury and scooter accident and everything. And he did say that he's never getting on a scooter again. He's put those days behind him.
Man, that was horrible. I mean, that just, yeah, I remember first hearing about that, and it was like, oh. Just sickened. I mean, everyone was so excited about him after his first year. He showed really great flashes, and then
You
now
feel
we have
like
to
you didn't
wait a
get to
year.
see enough of him in that
Oh
first
no, I
year
mean everyone was mad
because,
he didn't play enough and
you
shot down.
waited so long and he was redshirting, and then
You're
finally he
right.
comes back out there and you're like, all right, well, if you burn the red shirt, just use him now. And that was kind of one of the things taken away from that season. But the interesting thing, when I talked to Elijah, and I also talked to Kyle Guy about him, is because Kyle said that Elijah's one of the guys that has been like busting down his door to get in the gym and work out with him. Kyle was like, he has no frame of reference for what kind of athlete Elijah was, because obviously Kyle was still playing professionally during his first year before he got injured. But he was like, if this is like the kind of athlete, if like he's coming off an injury and this is the kind of athlete he is right now, like,
Oh, he's off the
you've
charts. I
got a
mean, we
good
already
one.
saw it. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm really excited though that he's coming back. I hope so. again, what is today, like the 16th? So we have
Yeah, six more
almost a week
days.
till the portal, 22nd. But I really thought we'd have Anthony Robinson. I'm disappointed by that one. I mean, if you would ask me, like, the two guys that I was most hopeful of coming back that I really wanted, it was Gertrude and Anthony Robinson. McNeely would have been great. Don't get me wrong. I loved Isaac, but it just didn't seem very likely to me he was ever going to come back. But those were two guys that went. And I think they did try really hard for Robinson. You know, it just
The
kind of.
Xavier choice was interesting to me. I thought he would have a good market out there, and I'm sure he did.
Yeah, I mean, good guys bring a premium. That's kind of part of it. And I think the way Odom is doing it, he's going to pay up for the top line guys. And then sort of the young bench players is going to be more market value kind of thing. I think that's kind of what's happening here. That's why we're getting the top line guys pretty easily. But these other kind of the types that are real recruitments that come and visit beforehand, they haven't gone so well. Is, you know, well, I mean, and I think A-Rob, I think, and I've heard rumors, I think Xavier offered him a good bit more than Virginia was willing to.
Interesting. It's a new startup there, and you got Richard Pitino now. Who else do you think? Is that kind of the main guy that Ryan Odom tried to keep, or do you think there was anyone else
I
that they
know
would
we
have
tried
won?
really hard for Jacob Kofi. We had some, there was a donor that really stepped up that really wanted Jacob to stay. So I know that was a thing. I'm pretty sure most of these guys, Kofi, certainly Kofi and McNeely, again, we never know money for sure, but I think they could have gotten more money if they stayed for it. Just
And yeah, I mean, Kofi going back west, that kind of always seemed like
right. I mean, we expected that. You know, he's
what
a
was
young
going to
guy. He's
happen.
far away from home. His coach is gone. That was it was unlikely to keep him even with whatever
He
money he
was
got.
one that I was like, gosh, if there was a four man that seemed perfect for kind of Ryan Odom's system, just based off watching Jack Clark last year at VCU, what he was able to do, like I was like, I think Kofi could be that and a lot more.
Yeah.
Now he gets to go out there with Eric
You talk about a
Musselman.
change of culture from Tony Bennett to Eric Musselman.
I was like, clearly, like the he doesn't have a type of coach. Clearly, that's the
No.
case. I guess. Kind of when I looked at the roster, those are the guys that I was like, if you keep anyone, I think it's those guys. Outside of that, it was Kofi, Robinson,
Right.
Gertrude, and McNeely, if you could. Those are kind of the guys. Outside of that, if guys wanted to stay, that's
Yeah,
up to
most of
them.
them were pretty hopeless. I mean, you know, Buchanan and Day-Day announced they were in the portal before it even opened. And we knew TJ Power wasn't going to stay. I mean, you can't blame him. You know, who else? Rhodey. I mean, there was already talk of Rhodey being recruited, you know, during the season. So, I mean, I guess those were the key guys. And Saunders was surprising. You know, I think he did want to stay, but Odom probably didn't think he was worth as much as he wanted as Saunders was asking for.
That's what it seems
But
like, yeah.
yeah, so I don't know. It's all business, man. It's kind of sad, but
It's weird. It's just kind of a new way of doing things, and
right.
I guess at the end of the day, you look at the kind of where the roster ends up, and I guess we should mention, I guess Carter Lang is still around, right? I know we got a
Still
question about
here,
Carter Lang.
absolutely. Hometown guy. Hey, the way it's going, man. We need Carter to stick around. We need big man, that's for
Need
sure.
a big man. He was a former scholarship guy
Yeah, he's not a
at
walk-on
Vanderbilt.
really. I mean, he technically was, but I assume he'll be on scholarship now. They have 15 scholarships, so.
Yeah, once they go up to that 15 number, pretty much everyone is on
Yeah.
scholarship. And I've covered Carter since he was, I think, at eighth grade playing on varsity. He's always been kind of one of the bigger guys on the court, and he spent some time with Team USA tryouts in high school. He's got some ability, and
Oh
coaches
yeah,
like
I mean
him.
Carter at one time was considered like a top 100 recruit or something like that. I mean, yeah, I mean he went to the SEC guy, but
So it'd be good to see him stick around, get another stab guy in there with Chance Mallory coming
I
in, and kind of get a little reunion there.
feel like Chance didn't really get the celebration. You know, it's like he committed and then we got right into the portal. You know, Odom was hired that week and it was like we almost forget about Chance. We all wanted him for a year there, and then boom, he commits, and nope, no, we got to transfer. But
There's a lot of celebration that day, but I keep thinking to myself, like, I think Virginia fans are really underrating this kid.
Oh yeah.
I know
Oh
he's
yeah.
small, but I have watched him since he was a 4 foot player in eighth grade on varsity, and this guy has always produced, and he had 20 rebounds in the game last year.
The high school rebounding numbers are absurd. He averaged nine one season. His junior year, I think he averaged nine rebounds. He's 5'10", or he's listed at 5'10". I don't think he's that tall.
Yeah, it
But
might be a hair under.
no, I mean, the guy, he's a heck of a player, man. I mean, he really is. We'll see what happens. I mean, the way they're bringing guys in, it's hard to talk about who's going to be where, roles and stuff, but he's going to be on the court. He's too
Yeah,
good to keep
he
on the court.
absolutely. He's that type of player, and everyone that plays with him kind of thinks the same. Last thing before we take a quick break here, the coaching staff and coaching moves. Obviously, Ryan Odom said at his press conference he was bringing everyone with him from VCU. Adds Griff Aldridge from Longwood. Then you get the assistants from VCU: Matt Henry, Bryce Crawford, Darius Theus. Interesting thing just about that, real quick, is Griff Aldridge, in his article with Jeff White that's on VirginiaSports.com, said that he's kind of acting as the program's GM currently. I know the program wants to add a GM in the long term, and I don't know if Griff wants to stay in that position, but I obviously heard good things about him, and he's got a good background for that spot.
Right. Yeah, he definitely is. I think UVA is gonna. I've always heard Wally Walker is the GM. I guess he has been. I don't know if he's gonna continue to be or officially or whatever. But yeah, essentially Griff is the GM in terms of what most teams expect of their GM. He is their GM. I mean, he's the guy who deals with agents. He's the guy that he's sort of the intel guy. I mean, we've got wind of that where he's talked to certain people, and that's kind of how we get recruiting information. Who the coaches talk to and that sort of thing. And it's pretty much always Griff when it comes to agents. So, I mean, that's his thing. And it makes sense with his background. So.
Yeah, it was interesting because I asked a lot of those questions at the press conference, just kind of what the GM position was looking like. And that's when Carla finally revealed that, that Wally Walker has been acting as that position for men's basketball and Tyler Jones for football and so on and so on. But why they wouldn't just kind of say that from the beginning, I don't know. That's kind of a, PR thing with UVA. But and when I talked to Wally, he said that, he's, full on, in the roster building process with Ryan Odom and his coaching staff right now, and kind of past that, we'll see. Carla said that, finalizing the GM position was something that they're going to do. Maybe that's hiring someone. Maybe that's, keeping Wally in his spot and having Griff do a lot of, like, the dirty work, talking to
Right,
agents and stuff like that. Don't
it,
really know what this position's going to look like long
right. I
term.
mean, that's the thing. Like GM, the GM job is very different from school to school. You know what I mean? So it's hard to say what UVA exactly what they want of it. And to me, it should be Ryan Odom's call anyway. I don't know. I think that's kind of what confused me was everyone said, "Well, Wally Walker's the GM. Well, shouldn't we wait until the coach is hired and then he can pick the GM?" I mean, a lot of coaches are bringing their own GMs with them because it's important to them. So.
And they come in all different shapes and sizes. I mean, some of them are former players, some of them are like very young data analytics guys that,
A
are
lot of
like
former
it.
recruiting people. A lot of my old
Yeah.
friends are
A lot of
recruiting
recruit.
stuff.
There you go. Some of them are former ESPN newsbreakers. If you're Adrian Wojnarowski, like it's
That's
in the
his
position.
retirement job. That's his like semi-retirement as being the St.
Hey, they
Bonnie.
got another good recruit today from overseas, so good for him and the Bonnies. But yeah, it's a weird position because it. And Wally was kind of explaining it to me when we talked. Like, it's not like an actual GM position because obviously he has done that at the professional level. So it's very different. Kind of in this college game now, and it's probably going to change a lot more once this house settlement goes through. Other kind of coaching news: Kyle Guy and Isaiah Wilkins departing. We now know Kyle Guy is going to be an assistant coach at Nevada. A lot of people going back and forth on this. Some say they were offered jobs to stay on staff, and some say that Ryan Odom kind of wanted to turn a page. How do you parse through this?
I think the truth is somewhere in between. I do think they were offered jobs. How wanted did they feel? I don't know. I know a pretty good source to Kyle Guy that told me he was offered a good job at UVA. So, I mean, there was definitely an offer on the table for him. I can say that for sure. But I don't know. I mean, they only had one real assistant coach
That's the
opening
thing, yeah.
there. So, my guess is that was my guess here is that they offered it to Kyle, or wanted that to be Kyle. I think he had to graduate, which he's going to do this summer. I assume he still is. I assume he's going
Yeah,
to
that's the
finish his
plan.
degree this summer. And then, it's like, he was really the assistant coach in waiting,
Yeah.
with Ben and Saints. I think it would have been the same kind of thing if he had stayed. Nevada went ahead and made him an assistant coach. It's a pretty good deal for him, pretty good place for him. I know he really likes Steve Alford, obviously. They're
Indiana
both,
ties.
Indiana guys. They just got a big recruit from Indianapolis here. I think it was today, so I don't know how much
Kyle
time
guy's
that.
working already.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to give him credit. I don't know if he deserves it or not.
Just the name. He may have had no contact, but just the name Kyle Guy, that means a
He
lot in
really does. I
Indianapolis.
mean, he really does. Like, I'm not sure these young guys in Indiana know who Steve Alford is anymore, but they know Kyle Guy.
Yeah,
And I
that's.
think Isaiah, if I'm mistaken, I don't know if it's official, but in all reports, he's gone to Cal. I assume he'd be an assistant coach there, so pretty good
All the way
landing
up to
spot for
Cal.
him. Yeah.
Some big trips for these guys. I guess the rest of the coaching staff is any idea where everyone else is headed?
Another that's official, a lot of rumors about Jason Wilford going to Georgetown. They just had their top assistant spot open up. A lot of rumors that may have his name on it. So see what happens. Orlando Vandross, I'm sure he's going to land well. I've heard somebody say that there's also a recent opening at St. Joe's since the coach just left there. I think that's one that may, he may be involved or interested in. But other than that, I don't know. A lot of rumors, like I said. So we'll see what
Yeah.
happens. Ron Sanchez is the one I'm just kind of curious about because,
Yeah.
I mean, he
You
brings a
feel
lot of
like
value to a staff. People didn't argue
absolutely.
about how good of a head coach he was, but as an
Yeah.
assistant.
He's been a highly successful assistant for a long time, and it was a rough year for him, so maybe you're like, do you want to like take some time before you kind of rush into something?
And I think that's what everyone expected from Jason Wilford
Yeah, same.
until this Georgetown opening came up. And again, I don't know that he's taking it, but
Yeah.
just that's the rumor.
It wouldn't be a bad move. Not too far, but I know he's got, obviously family stuff to kind of think about with that. One guy that is sticking around at UVA is Ronnie Weidman, moving into a senior associate AD role for men's and women's basketball. It's good to see Ronnie stick around, and I guess that's
A little
partly a
bit worrying.
connection to the
Yeah.
Tony Bennett era.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everyone loves Ronnie, man. I've never met him personally. I don't know him at all, but I know lots of people who do, and everyone speaks highly of him. So
Yeah,
really
nah,
happy to
he's.
have him staying around. And like I said, it's a little bit of a link. We have, I guess, Mike Curtis and of course Ethan. But they're pre-Bennett guys, really. They're both
Was gonna say Ethan's kind of a
Ethan's
connection
before.
to
Yeah.
all of Virginia
Yeah,
basketball.
Ethan's like an institution. I mean, no one even debated whether Ethan was going to stay, but
Yeah, it's
Mike
like.
Curtis, obviously great strength coach.
Yeah, so it seems like there's a little bit of a connection there. Probably not what people are anticipating, and maybe
No,
not what
I'm really
Ryan.
surprised that they didn't find a way to keep one of Kyle or Isaiah.
Yeah, it's you heard him at the press conference, and I thought this before he even said like that he wanted a connection on staff, because you just look what he did at VCU with bringing in Darius Theus and Bradford Burgess to his staff, VCU guys, and I think he really liked having that connection on staff, and I think he wanted that, but ultimately doesn't work out, and interested to see how they kind of fill out that last
Right.
spot on the
Yeah, I mean,
staff.
I kind of expect there would be a UVA guy there.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of UVA basketball alums in
Yes.
coaching, so
Yeah. I
we'll
know
see.
David Teal came on and mentioned, some guys like Anthony Solomon and J.R. Reynolds, and I'm trying to think, there's some other guys just kind of out there
Right.
that have a tie to
And
UVA.
Curtis
So
Staples is kind of advocating to go coach him somewhere on staff, so.
he wants to be on there somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm all for it. Bring Curtis home. So,
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll
all
get to
right.
the rest of everyone's questions, and we'll be right back here on the Who's On Podcast.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.
Welcome back into the Who's On podcast. I'm joined by Kevin Cook, a.k.a. Who's Got Next. We're breaking down a couple of your questions now that you've asked over on the Saber message board and kind of taking a look at just some different topics. And, you know, we don't have all the answers here, but, you know, it kind of helps us, you know, just kind of have some topics to go off of. So the first one I thought was kind of interesting. This is from Wahoo1186 on the message board. Which front court players in the Bennett era best fit the prototype for what Odom would like to have at Virginia? I don't know if there's a clear cut answer there.
I don't know. Mobility for sure. You need someone that can run the floor.
Yeah.
So you look at, I mean, who are the big guys? Obviously, you know, Darion or Keith. They weren't really big guys.
Yeah. You know, Atkins, though, I think would be a good example just because athletic, not overly tall, but, you know, he's a presence around the rim too.
Yeah. But he's had so many different types of big guys that I'm really not sure there is a mold there he's looking for. But, yeah, I would say that's kind of the one thing. You know, you're looking for a guy that can either stretch the floor or protect the rim. And that's just in college basketball in general. And you add in with Odom, guy that can get up and down the court.
Yeah. So it definitely seemed he wants it to be for round one. Right. He wants kind of that big that can kind of be in the paint and then kind of play four guards slash kind of a combo.
Well, I think
forward.
He would go five out if you're the right guy. But yeah. I think a center needs to do one of two things. They either need to be able to shoot the three, be a threat to stretch the floor, or they need to protect the rim. One or the other. If they don't do either of those things really well, probably. And Ryan Odom's very analytical. You know, he's into the whole, especially Griff, I think, even more. And those are kind of the things that those people value at the center position. Those are things that show up, move the needle.
Well, yeah. What are the most efficient shots in basketball? It's a dunk or a three.
Exactly.
Like those are the high efficiency shots. Sticking with the big man theme, transfer drivel, apt name for this on the message board, saying money is trumping playing time? ? Is this why UVA is losing bigs despite having no starters up front right now? Just is money kind of the end all be all right now?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think Virginia is losing any one of her money right now. To be honest,
Certainly
not like the, again, we have to sort of separate, and I do think this is what's happening, sort of the front line starter quality players, say the older guys that they're recruiting versus some of the younger ones.
Yeah.
You know, like the numbers are not the same, you know, for Ricky's Passmore or Luke Bangboye than they are for Nick Davidson or, you know, Jakari White. So, no, I don't think Virginia's losing guys over money yet. I think the few that they've lost, first of all, it's kind of gotten blown out of proportion. Fans are in a panic. We need a big guy. They haven't really lost that many. It's still pretty early.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal. You've lost two guys to Clemson, the front line. Clemson does really well with their front court guys. I mean, they've done really, really well.
So look at
very
all
attractive place to go for those type of players. Whereas Ryan Odom just doesn't quite have a message to match that, I think. So
look at all the front court guys that they have. They're all kind of fit the same mold.
Exactly.
You know, Brad Brunell has been very successful with over the past couple of years. So
a certain type of player for sure.
I wonder too with Nick Davidson. I just saw that his younger brother Blake, who had been committed to Nevada, came and committed to Clemson too. If that was kind of a package deal kind of thing,
that definitely would have been in the case of Virginia as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting there. The next one, and this is probably the one that's kind of consumed the message board the most over the past couple of days, is Purple Shadow asking, you know, how involved is UVA with the Malik Thomas waiver? And we don't know exact details on this Malik Thomas waiver, but go back to like the beginning of Malik Thomas, because this kind of it played very similarly to the rest of the recruiting stories that we heard with Virginia. Yeah.
We started here that Virginia came in, big offer. Exactly the same as the others. This is during the dead period. Then fans noticed all the social media activity. He and some, I don't know, his family, I'll be honest, I've lost track of who followed people do. But basically, again, his people followed the UVA accounts. And it was very similar to what we saw with the other guys. So it's like, okay, well, this is done. And then, you know, and honestly, what's going on probably aligns with that. It's quiet. You know, he's waiting on a waiver. There's not really any other recruiting activity around him. There's no reported visits, anything. Which I, to be honest, I'm not sure how it works with these guys seeking a waiver. Like they probably can't even go on official visits. Like, I don't think.
And that's a really interesting question, especially this year, because you're seeing a ton of guys that have no idea if they're going to get a waiver, if they have
that's
another
crazy,
year of eligibility,
I mean,
hopping in the portal just to see.
It's crazy. And the guy we talked about, the Charleston big man, I think his case is really influential to all these other guys.
He'll be big, and he's got
a fifth year.
I mean, he's got a lawsuit out there
right.
trying to get this extra
right.
year. I think his case is that he played 1 year at Division II level.
Exactly.
And, you know, if he doesn't get this extra year, he's missing out on $1 million plus, you know, dollars in NIL
right.
money. And so, yeah, it's interesting. And this is kind of what I had theorized with Malik Thomas was kind of the case because we hadn't heard anything. It kind of went dead. But you hadn't seen any other rumors with him. I think I was like, I think he's just kind of wait to see if he can get another year.
Yeah, I mean,
that
that's
seems to be the case.
Now, there's no guarantee. Now, in the middle, there other schools are
they'll
probably
keep poking
trying,
around.
I guarantee you they're trying to recruit him.
Yeah.
But presumably, Virginia's probably has a pretty big offer there that the other teams aren't going to match if it's really like we assume. But yeah, I mean, I assume he's just waiting on a waiver. Who knows, man? His case is. It's kind of weird. It's kind of, I don't know. He played 18 minutes as a freshman.
18 minutes over nine
Like,
games.
Why did you do that? I mean, what?
Yeah. And this is one where I am kind of like, cause I am getting tired of, you know, the fifth, sixth, seventh year players in college basketball kind of floating around and college sports in general. But this is one where I'm kind of like, you know, football has a situation for this. They have the 4-game rule. I don't know why basketball never did anything
Is
like
that
that.
Coming in or not? Because they've talked about that.
It might come to an end if they go to the straight five. You have 5 years to play. Like that's done and dusted. You have 5 years. That might be an end to that. But yeah, a long time ago when they implemented the 4-game rule, I was just kind of like, why doesn't basketball do something similar with that? Maybe it doesn't have to be games or minutes, but yeah, 18 minutes. I mean, I know Gertrude got more as a freshman, but it kind of felt similarly like you're burning this year
I mean,
for this kid.
I think injuries did play a role, and I guess that's his waiver claim is that I was injured. Typically a medical red shirt. They can't play past New Year's, basically. I don't know the exact date. And he played in games beyond that.
Yeah.
So it's not a technical medical red shirt, but I think that's sort of his angle. As well, I was injured, and it impacted my season. But, man, someone at USC should have been looking out for that situation better. I mean, really.
Yeah. You do wonder kind of just the kind of situations there and kind of how that plays out. And obviously he's gone on to have a really good career at San Francisco. And he's one that, you know, I think Virginia really needs. Obviously a guy that can score 20 points a game in the
Right. Yeah.
WCC.
I think he's something they're missing. They have good shooters. You know, Hall is very much a pure point guard. They need a guy that can go get a bucket.
He's your go-to guy. If
Yeah,
you
he's,
get a Malik
that's what
Thomas.
He does.
Yeah. Because I like Jakari maybe as that second guy that can probably do that stuff off the dribble. And but not if you're overly relying on him, I guess, in that role. So this is one that I think Virginia is going to be okay waiting to see.
It would be a big difference. I mean, obviously, they need to get a quality big man. I'm not really that worried about them getting a solid big guy. We'll see if they get like a, you know, home run type player. I don't know about that. Because, you know, there are guys out there and we know they have the resources and they have sort of the
guys
hole in their lineup.
Still
We'll get
jumping
that.
in there.
But you still need, you know, other guys in the rotation. And that's sort of, they have good guards. Don't be wrong. I mean, Chance Mallory can play. I think Elijah Gertrude is going to step up and surprise people next year. But yeah, Malik is kind of, you're talking about a fifth year guy that led the WCC in scoring. That looks pretty good.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And he's a guy that Gonzaga thought they were going to get for a while
Yeah, I
there.
mean, apparently Gonzaga was the one who spoke up and like, yeah, Virginia just came in and blew us away with their offer.
Yeah,
So that was kind of.
that's the only reason. Like, I think that's kind of where it started. Was like, wait,
Yeah,
what?
pretty
Who?
much, yeah. Pretty much, yeah. That's how it gets around. I mean, it's always the losers that tell on you, you know?
Interesting one here, because I know this kind of plays more into your background here. What do you think the recruiting philosophy for high school and versus portal recruitment will be under Odom? I know it's still very early, and he kind of
Right.
asked this question at his press conference. This is from Matt, who's on the message board, by the way. It was interesting to see kind of his first two guys that he gets are high school guys and Chance Mallory and Silas Barksdale. Yet I know there was existing relationships there in both
And
cases,
in-state
but
recruits, let's emphasize that. It's been
in-state
a while.
recruits. It's it
It's
had
been a
been a
while.
long while.
Yeah.
I think BJ Stith was the last
Yep.
in-state guy, the true in-state guy, because I know
Right.
Mamadi, played at the Blue Ridge School just up the road here. But and then I think I put out there 2009 was the last time they had two in one class, and that was
Who was
trying
that?
to Tristan Spurlock, and was that Jontel or Tevin Jones?
Jontel? Jontel? Well, Jontel was 20. He was 2010. No, 2009. That's right. He was Dave
Yeah.
Oda, or Dave Lado's had signed Jontel, and then Bennett kept him. Was there someone else in his class originally? I can't remember.
Tristan Spurlock was
Okay.
yeah.
Tristan's
So,
now. Where's he at now? He was an
Jontel
assistant
Evans
coach.
and Tristan Spurlock, I just
Yeah,
found
Tristan
that.
was an assistant coach at Iowa, and I'm not
Yeah.
sure. He landed somewhere else. I'm not sure where he's at now.
So I guess just kind of how do you see them valuing high school versus portal? Because that's a big thing right now. You heard last
Yeah,
year
they.
Rick Pitino say he doesn't care about high school recruits anymore
Well, I think
because it's
Odom wants to build. You know, I
yeah.
think what we're seeing, look, they've got to do what they're doing right now. There's no
You don't have any
choice.
players, yeah.
They have to go out and bring a whole team. And these days, a new coach has to, you know, they can go out and build a good team right away, so they have to do it. I mean, if they don't, it's tough, man. Like, look at what, like, the alternative is doing what Notre Dame did. And don't be wrong, I think they're doing a great job there, and it's going to pay
Yeah.
dividends like next season and the year after. But they've had a rough 2 years, man. You know, they went out and they sort of said, you know what, we're not going to recruit these big transfers. We're just going to focus on high school kids, and we're going to develop them, and we're going to take our lumps. And they have taken their lumps for 2 years. And again, I think there's light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, there's a case for doing that. But it for fans, it's really tough to
Yeah.
sit through that and say, okay, well, just sit tight and wait 3 years. You know, when Bennett came, it was what? Was it year three, I guess, they made the tournament? First
Yeah.
two were, you know, I mean, he exceeded expectations, but they were still pretty rough.
Yeah.
And that's like best case scenario if you want to do it that way. It was tough.
It can happen quick, but it can take some time. I mean,
Yeah,
and
so anyway, my point, I think people see this and they're like, well, we're just going to be like a portal team. I don't think that's the case at all.
yeah.
I think this is just what they have to do.
I've
But
always thought in any sport right now in this transfer portal era, like the thing is you build like that solid foundation through your high school recruiting and through guys that you keep in the program for a couple of years, but then you add, patch
exactly.
holes,
Eventually, that's where you want to be at. Yeah.
and it's actually like I'm working on some research for a story right now. I'll pull it up here, but I look just this past year of the 84 total all conference players in the country, 46.4% of them were high school guys on their teams that they started in college with. That's almost half. The reason I'm looking this up is because 32.1% of them were mid-major players coming up to the Power Five level. And only 18 were Power Five transfers. Just looking that up because I know a lot of people are like, you got to get Power Five
Well, here's
guys.
my question on that. How many of those transfers have been there multiple years?
A good chunk of them were there for 1 or 2 years. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like those are, we saw what Florida did. I mean, their team were that was built around multi-year transfers.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think you have to do it one of two. Most teams, I'm not saying everybody can do things differently. We know Duke and Arkansas and these teams you know, they can put together a bunch of 1 year guys and win a
Yeah.
national championship. But I think most teams, they have to have their star players are going to be homegrown in some way. You know, whether
Yeah.
that's high school recruits or young players that have transferred in and been there for 2, 3 years. I
An
mean, those are the guys
interesting.
you build around. And then you patch it, as you said, with the 1 year guys, and you fill in the holes of the players that that didn't make it, you know, the guys that you were in high school and, you know, didn't really pan out. That's kind of the modern recipe, I guess.
And interestingly enough, the ACC, and this might be part of the problem, I don't know, is the conference that has the fewest transfers that have made all ACC teams.
Really?
Yeah. So they only had five this
Probably.
past, or they only had five, no, three, five this past year. Yeah. That was Jameer Watkins, Boopie Miller, Terrence Edwards, Chucky Hepburn, and Hunter Salas. And Salas in this, that's an interesting one because Gonzaga, I kind of just consider as a Power Five school.
Right.
I don't put them on the same
Yeah,
level as the
Gonzaga's
other
high major.
mid-majors.
Like they
Yeah.
officially will be. Is that next season they're moving into the.
I can't, yeah.
Do we call the Pac-12 Power Conference? I'm confused all this now.
You got me. I don't know what to call them.
But yeah, that's interesting. I wonder, I mean, is that just like statistical noise, do you think? Or is it just. The ACC hasn't had the money to get the high interest.
I don't know if it's they haven't had the money or they haven't identified the right guys. You hear most coaches this past year, a lot of coaches and former players and people around the ACC are like, you know, it's time for the ACC to kind of wake up and play game. And it looks like a lot of schools are doing that this offseason so far. You've seen what Louisville's done. And obviously Duke and UNC are always going to be a threat. You know, Virginia's spending a good amount of money and even some other schools in the conference. I know Miami's trying to kind of up their game a little bit now, but Clemson has done a good job
Yeah, for
so far
sure.
in the portal. They had to replace a ton, so I'm interested to see what that roster looks like next year. But yeah, as I dive further into this research, you got a sneak peek of it here today. So we'll see kind of where it takes me down the road.
I'll be interested to read that.
Yeah. Looking at the next message board question, I think we talked about where former coaches have found new jobs. We've talked about that already. But thanks for the question, TFJ. And then the last one's kind of a thinker here. So how do you think collegiate sports will evolve over the next 5 years? This is from Slider on the message board. He says you can kind of take it any direction that you want. General assumptions, realignments. What do you think?
I worry about. I just take the college basketball because I mean I just you
yeah.
know, that's my thing. I just worry about fan interest. Like, is it just going to kind of slowly fall off? You know what I mean? Kind of. Fans hate what's going on, man. They hate it so much, and it's kind of a. You know, I think it's okay in football. First of all, it isn't as much of a problem in football, in my opinion. I don't believe so.
You don't replace an entire roster as easily in football.
Exactly.
Unless you're Deion Sanders, but other than that.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't have as many as terms of percentages of transfers in football. And, you know, the thing about football is players are sort of more anonymous. You aren't as attached to them. You know what I mean? Other than a few guys. So they sort of come and go and you don't really even notice most fans. Basketball, you really notice.
Yeah.
And I think fans are tired of it. I think they're really turned off. The more that the money, you know, becomes more transparency there is about the amounts players are making, which we're starting to see now.
Yeah.
I think that turns a lot of fans off. And I don't know. That's what I worry about basically is just in the long run, I don't know about 5 years. I don't think it's going to be different 5 years. I hope they're able to get some of that reined in.
Yeah. You're hoping maybe some of these things that are coming with the house settlement kind of balance it out a little bit.
Yeah.
Not as
I mean, it's not
crazy.
going to go back to the way it was ever, but
no. Yeah.
I mean, hopefully that it's at least stop the upward trend, man. I mean, this cannot continue. You know what I mean? The way it is right now, something has to change. I mean, this spring has been just insane.
Yeah.
You know, college sports are not meant to be a bidding war to get recruits. It just isn't. This isn't how it's supposed to work, especially not with millions. You're getting starters in the ACC, just starters, not like all conference guys are getting $1 million. I mean, that's the NBA rookie minimum, right? Is right around $1 million.
Yeah.
I mean, something is out of whack here.
And that keeps going up because, you know, TV revenue is going up in the NBA and everything. But I honestly, you know, at the end of the year, you know, I kept reminding people, you know, all right, this team last year finished 15 and 17. You probably don't want all these players back. But at the end, I was surprised, like, at how many of these guys have found pretty decent homes in other spots.
They're popular. I mean, look, they're talented guys. They're sort of the – not many of them are the big ticket players, let's be real. But, again, you know, we're recruiting guys to fill in as well. It's the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. Look, I think when Bennett was always talking about his two-year plan before he retired, I think as we got into the season, we realized, yeah, we've missed on a couple of these guys. That's probably not going to – we're not going to make the Final Four next year with this roster. Nah. It wasn't quite that good. But there were some pretty talented guys there. Look at Anthony Robinson. That's one that I think is really going to hurt when you look back at it. Hopefully we'll bring in our own good guys.
You hope it evens out, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm glad Elijah Gertrude stayed. That was really important one. Kofi. I didn't expect Kofi to stay, but again, very talented guy. So there were some really good pieces there.
Yeah.
It wasn't a total.
No, it was, and you know, the stats that everyone was talking about going into last season with the roster. I know some players didn't kind of pan out and play, looking at, you know, Jalen Worley, but you know, it was the number of former top 100 recruits on the roster was the most that they had ever had.
It was, I think, yeah, I did. I read an article mentioning this.
Seven or eight.
I think it was eight.
Yeah.
Of course, it depends on where you look, you know, which rankings things. But the most he'd ever had before was six on a team. And that's like total roster. Like you have to include redshirted players and that sort of stuff to even get the six. And there was eight on this team. But, and it turned out, well, yeah, of course, it wasn't Tony's team, but.
Yeah. You know, it turns out recruiting rankings aren't always, you know, end all be all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, you know, Tane, you know, hey, God love Tane, but he was a top 100 recruit. Jalen Worley was a top 100 recruit. No one thought that way when he was transferred from Florida State.
But TJ really Power was a top 25 guy.
He's in the Ivy League now.
Yeah. it was interesting. You know, I was probably on the higher side going into last season because, you know, I thought there were some things that kind of made sense. But at the end of the day, I heard someone talking about this now as like with the NIL money and transfer portal, you know, maybe college coaches. Yeah, it was an NBA scout, you know, kind of talking about it. You know, maybe college coaches start to realize the importance of just roster building and not just like taking the talent that you can get is maybe actually seeing how these pieces fit together more like a NBA team.
And I know that's something, you know, in Virginia's, I do think Odom is very mindful of that.
Yeah,
I mean, he's very, they're definitely mindful of fitting pieces together. Obviously, analytics. They have the analytics firm that they've hired to advise. And I think they're very active in what's going on here, probably more than people would think. It's definitely different. Again, different era. This is stuff that Tony Bennett had no interest in.
No,
very little anyway.
Yeah,
and he was very much an eye test guy. He judged players and what he saw.
It's stuff that Virginia had been looking at. Not Tony Bennett, but you know the administration and program had been looking at maybe going this direction, and I think they've got a good fit for going in that direction with Ryan Odom because this is certainly something that he looks at. And if you look at the roster so far, like, yeah, these are pieces that kind of fit together. I think is the thing that you can say. So far.
Right. Yeah, again, it's not just fits together. They fit what he wants to do, you know, his style, and I think that's really important. But, yeah, going back to what we talked about before, I'm really interested to see what they do in high school recruiting now.
Yeah.
Because you know, I really don't know what to expect there. I expect we're going to see a lot of in-state, you know, in the region anyhow, a lot of DMV kids. He has a lot of Baltimore connections, a lot of Charlotte connections from his past. So we're probably going to be a lot of guys that are close to home. And you got Griff's Houston ties.
Yeah.
You know, Houston, I said this before, Houston is like our new Wisconsin. We're used to hearing Houston kids. And we got Terrence Arcano, I believe, visiting this weekend, I think, coming up. So right there is kind of the first swing at it. But, I'm not really sure what to expect in terms of how they're going to go about high school recruiting. It's going to be different. I know that. I mean, it's not going to be the old Tony Bennett way of recruiting a few guys at a time and, you know, all the familiar patterns. It's probably pretty chaotic.
Yeah. I like framing that the Houston is the new Wisconsin.
It is. That's what I'm figuring out. Houston is the new Wisconsin.
Because as soon as Terrence Arcano went into the portal, it was almost like instant. Like everyone kind of glued to him. Like, Watch this guy.
I don't know if they're going to get him. He's going to visit Virginia and NC State, and so we'll see.
Yeah, NC State, I know they've got their hands in a lot of different,
Yeah, I mean,
pockets. McKenzie and Bacco, and I know they've got some other names rumored there. I was listening to Jeff Goodman and Rob Dowster, kind of talk through all the different top names in the portal right now. But I guess, Kevin, we don't know a lot. What are we expecting, I guess, in the near future as we wrap up here?
Well, again, it's probably going to be unpredictable. Hopefully, it won't be as unpredictable, because guys can take visits now. Like we saw, we know Terrence Arcenault, pronounced that name right, very proud of that. Or excuse me,
Arsenal.
Arcenault. Like we know he's visiting, so that's a change, right? We actually know which guys are visiting. So hopefully we'll at least see what's coming. But yeah, man, we're probably looking at another four or five guys before this is done. I mean, I think fans get caught up in like the starting lineup and you've got to fill in this hole, but they've got to get a whole roster. It's not just they've got to fill in younger players and some of the pieces that people probably aren't going to be as excited about. It's probably going to take a while. Wouldn't be surprised if we see some overseas stuff happening. We
Yeah,
know
that's a
they like
big
those guys.
Ryan Odom staple, yeah.
Yep, I think everywhere he's been, every time he's had one of these fresh starts, he's brought in one or two overseas players. So I kind of expect that at some point. But yeah, man, it's been a crazy time, been a crazy few weeks. It's these last few days have actually been nice. There haven't been a commitment, been able to hang out, turn off
Chill.
the computer and not worry about it. The phone doesn't go off every 2 minutes.
It's what we thought
But
last week was going to be like.
yeah, so I know it's probably coming again, coming up soon, but fans are all panicking. I'm like, just chill. I'm happy.
I
Just
know.
relax.
You got a nice little 5, 6 day flurry there, and then take a little break, and then probably get another one to finish out the roster, and away we go. But
Big guys,
Kevin,
though, man. Need what? Probably three or four big guys still
yeah, at
required.
least
Three
three or
more.
four.
We've got one. We got Tillis, sort of a big guy.
Yeah.
Probably three more of those. Hopefully, the Malik Thomas situation gets cleared up. Who knows how long that's going to take? Probably another young guard, Rhys Passmore, obviously. Canada, I think they're in pretty good shape with him, but we'll see what happens.
It's a wild time, and I know people can stick to your Twitter and locker room access to get the latest. But Kevin, thanks for coming on. Glad we finally got to do this, and I hope you get a little bit more of a break before things start going off again.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, thank you for listening to the Who's On podcast. That is it for this week. We will see you next week with more probably transfer portal craziness. Until next time.
On the field, winning comes from hard work, care, and preparation. I learned that same hard work doesn't stop when we exit the arena. Your care is our commitment, and preparation is our promise. We tackle challenges head on and turn dreams into reality, which is why I'm excited to join the team at Alcova Mortgage, where we help you score the perfect home.